And 71 degrees in Moorhead, this is Mountain Edition. I'm Arlo Barnett.
And I'm Jacob Lindberg.
In less than 4 years, our total cost from diabetes in just Kentucky will be $6.5 billion with a B dollars.
State Representative Joni Jenkins says an increasing number of diabetics in Kentucky is driving up health care costs.
A Marshall University student is seriously injured after being hit by a car today.
And Apache attack helicopters from Fort Campbell are being used in the battle for the Iraqi city of Mosul.
In sports, U of L hears from the NCAA relative to an investigation into claims of prostitution and the basketball program.
But Luke has the stock report.
Showers and thunderstorms likely tonight, lows around 50 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
WIMT is reporting that there were no injuries this morning when a vehicle struck a school bus in Johnson County. The mishap occurred on State Route 321 in Hager Hill. Johnson deputies tell the hazard station the vehicle hit the side of the bus as its driver was pulling onto the road.
A student at Marshall University was hit by a car and seriously injured this morning on the Huntington campus. According to WOWK, the accident happened around 9 o'clock at the junction of 17th Street and 5th Avenue. The unidentified female student was transported to the hospital. Marshall President Jerry Gilbert issued a statement saying the school's Office of Student Affairs is providing assistance and support to the student's family.
Three students in the Jefferson County Public School District were seriously hurt today when a sport utility vehicle tried to pass their stopped school bus. Dwight Mitchell is a spokesman for the Louisville Metro Police. He says the SUV flipped over and hit the students as they were waiting for the bus.
Two of those kids were taken to Norton Hospital in critical condition. The other one was transported as well. Injuries not seeming to be as critical there.
Mitchell says the youngsters are students at Englehard and Dixie Elementary Schools.
More charges have been filed against a former Eastern Kentucky jail guard accused of beating an inmate who later died. The Lexington Herald Leader reports the new federal complaint charges that Damon Wayne Hickman assaulted one inmate in October 2011 and another over a year later. Hickman made an initial court appearance on the charges Wednesday. He and William Curtis Howell, another former guard at the Kentucky River Regional Jail in Hazard, were charged last year with beating inmate Larry Trent and then failing to get medical care for him. An indictment says Hickman and Howell left a bloody Trent in his cell without seeking treatment for him. It says that 4 hours later, another jail employee found that Trent was not breathing. Hickman and Howell pleaded not guilty.
The Rowan County Board of Health has approved a local needle exchange program. The board last Thursday okayed a plan to allow drug users to anonymous exchange their used needles for clean ones at a location still to be determined. Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent says it's now up to City Council and the Rowan Fiscal Court to approve the idea. After council was told last Monday by an epidemiologist from the University of Kentucky that needle exchanges help stop the spread of HIV and hepatitis C, Trent believes the group will give the program a thumbs up.
I think city council's eyes, just like mine were before, were open to the fact that, you know, it's not as simple as it seems. It's not a enabling. That's not the intent. That it's actually to prevent the spread of disease. So I believe at this point, I can't speak for council members, but I believe that they are probably more willing now than they would have been before, just based on the fact that they've got more information.
Rowan Judge Executive Walter Blevins expects the county's fiscal court to review the proposed needle exchange program at its November meeting.
Marshall University is looking for ways to help alleviate the region's drug addiction crisis. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Ashland Independent, school president Jerome Gilbert has announced that the Joan C. Edwards School of Medicine is starting a search for a director of addiction sciences. He believes the new position is the key to linking medicine and pharmacy with the disciplines of addressing addiction. Gilbert says the staff at the school has already been focusing on the opioid crisis, and the new director of addiction will help them cross various disciplines to find holistic solutions to the problem of addiction. The position is expected to be filled by next summer. For Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
State Representative Joni Jenkins says an increasing number of Kentuckians are being diagnosed with diabetes. The Louisville Democrat says the Commonwealth doesn't lead the nation, but it's moving in the wrong direction.
The percentage of our population with diabetes is now 11.2%, which equates to one out of every nine people. The trend line is not good for us. By 2020, we will pass 12%. Then by 2025, the number is 13%.
Jenkins says Kentucky's costs from diabetes are projected to be $6.5 billion in less than 4 years. She told a legislative panel in Frankfort Wednesday the state needs to devote additional resources to diabetes education and prevention. Jenkins is a member of the House Health and Welfare Committee.
A new study of the oral health of Kentucky's children shows that they have greater access to dental care but have more dental problems than they did 15 years ago. Dr. Grant Smith is a researcher at Bellarmine University and analyzed the data from a review conducted for Kentucky Youth Advocates. In 2001, says Smith, 32% of the youngsters in the third or sixth grades were in need of early or urgent care. This year, he explains, it's 49%, and many of them have untreated cavities.
Two of five, or 41% of the kids in the third and sixth grade groups, have untreated cavities. So for every five kids that he examined, two of them had untreated cavities.
Smith says kids who receive free or reduced-cost lunches at their school are much more likely to have untreated cavities, toothaches, or other dental problems. More on this story in our feature segment this afternoon.
It is the open enrollment season again for health care coverage for thousands of Kentuckians. However, a recent United Healthcare survey found that just 7% of Americans understood the four concepts of health insurance: premiums, deductibles, coinsurance, and out-of-pocket maximums. UH Chief Operating Officer Paul Brophy says theirs is help for those who need help to better understand their healthcare situation.
Most all employers have internal resources, but we would also encourage folks who go to the online tools available with United Healthcare and some other providers and carriers, allow people to actually run certain scenarios, looking at different healthcare options and then the other ancillary benefits.
One of the online tools mentioned is uhc.com/healthcareabcs. Brophy says during open enrollment season, some people tend to wait till the last minute to make health insurance decisions, and that can cause problems.
The 101st Airborne Division at Fort Campbell is supporting Iraqi security forces in the push to retake the city of Mosul from ISIS fighters. Major General Jerry Valesky is commander of the 101st, which is providing Apache attack helicopters for the battle.
The initial operation, as you've seen, the movement has gone pretty well. The Iraqis are ahead of where I thought they would be when this operation started. They continue to move. No doubt the Iraqi security forces have the momentum, and they know it. And so they are as motivated to get to Mosul as we are to help them get there.
General Valesky says the choppers are being used at night to strike targets from a distance.
Motorists heading eastbound on the Mountain Parkway in Powell County should prepare for a lane closure and width restrictions for the next 2 weeks. Kentucky Transportation Cabinet spokesman H.B. Elkins says repairs are being made to the bridge over Kentucky 213 near Bowen.
This particular bridge is the eastbound bridge at the Stanton exit, exit 22. Project started today to do the deck overlay, so we have a lane closure in place there. They'll do one lane at a time. They'll work on one lane, and then they'll open that lane to traffic while they work on the other lane. Shouldn't be any major delays. Maybe sometimes during some peak travel time, traffic will slow down just a bit.
Elkins says exit 22 will remain open, and vehicles wider than 13 feet should use it to detour towards Slade and re-enter the parkway at exit 33.
U.S. Senate candidate Jim Gray says the nation needs a stronger commitment to improved infrastructure. The Democrat spoke Wednesday near the Brent Spence Bridge, which links northern Kentucky to Cincinnati and is considered greatly outdated for the volume of traffic it is now carrying.
We have almost a $1 trillion gap in infrastructure spending between now and 2020. We plan to spend $2.7 trillion, but the plans should call for $3.6 trillion. While interest rates are low, this is a time that we ought to be making these investments.
Gray says it isn't just new bridges that are needed across the country. He says greater broadband access, water and sewer improvements, and better rural roads are also essential throughout Kentucky.
Republicans have added more than 77,000 people to their voter registration rolls since last year, easily outpacing Democrats while still trailing them in overall numbers. Secretary of State Allison Lundergan Grimes announced the new totals Thursday, less than a month before the November 8th general election. The deadline to register to vote was last week. Since November of last year, Republicans have added over 77,000 voters, while Democrats gained just over 11,000. Democrats still have a majority, claiming 51% of all registered voters, compared with Republicans' 40%. The rest are registered as third-party or independent voters. Democrats fared better with new voters, signing up over 44,000 since March, compared with just 46,000 Republicans, but it appears the GOP is benefiting from a number of registered Democrats deciding to switch parties.
A minimum wage increase approved by the Louisville Metro Council has been struck down by Kentucky's Supreme Court. Louisville's council voted nearly 2 years ago to increase workers' wages to $9 per hour using step-by-step phasing. Louisville became the first Kentucky city to increase minimum wages above the federal level of $7.25 an hour. Today's 6-1 ruling said the city's minimum wage ordinance is invalid and unenforceable. In writing for the court's majority, Justice Bill Cunningham said the ordinance conflicts with state law in a manner prohibited by Kentucky's Constitution. His opinion drew a dissent from Justice Samuel T. Wright III. Louisville's ordinance was challenged in court by the Kentucky Restaurant Association, the Kentucky Retail Federation, and local employer Packaging Unlimited.
Judge Executive Walter Blevins looks forward to seeing the results of surveys sent out over the summer by the Round County Moorhead Recreation Committee. The questionnaires asked for the public's input regarding the building of a new recreation park in the community. Over 1,200 of them have been returned, and a marketing class at Moorhead State University is compiling their results, which should become available in the next several weeks. According to Blevins, after officials learn what citizens want in the new park, the next challenge will be finding the money for it.
There's not a lot of magic grants out there in Washington or in even private businesses to find money for these kinds of projects. It's very difficult. And if you want to have these things, or the people are going to have to figure out the way to pay for them, either in user fees or some kind of a tax increase that'll help pay for the kinds of things that the community here want.
At this point, the site for the proposed recreation park remains uncertain. Earlier talks focused on building it on the site of Moorhead State University's old Sunnybrook Golf Course.
The best way to avoid being scammed over the phone is to know when to leave it ringing. That's according to Heather Clary, the Director of Communications at the Lexington Better Business Bureau. Clary recommends letting unknown callers go to voicemail and returning the call if it turns out to be legitimate. She adds that scammers frequently pretend to be government officials who will never call you on the phone. She says if you receive a scam phone call, you can report it to the BBB or to the Attorney General's office.
They have a scam alert program where people can even receive text warnings about various scams that are going around, and I know that it's information from the public that's sent in that helps us to put it back out to the rest of the public so that we can warn people about these.
The Scam Alerts program was announced Wednesday by Attorney General Andy Beshear and the U.S. Postal Service, who are teaming up to better protect consumers from scams.
Our Lady of Bellefonte Hospital will be offering a program to educate young people on how to be better babysitters. The event is for adolescents ages 11 to 14 and will be held on November 12th from 9 to 3 at the Garner Missionary Baptist Church in Rush. Kevin Compton is the spokesman for OLBH.
These days, obviously, you have many situations where you have either single-parent homes or you have both parents working. A lot more responsibility oftentimes falls on siblings, and in some cases, if not siblings, it is your neighbors, your friends who are doing babysitting duties, and it's not just watching the kids is necessarily the most simplest of tasks.
The program costs $35 and provides a safe sitter backpack, training manual, and lunch. To register or for more information, call 606-833-2273.
Your weather for tonight, showers and a chance of thunderstorms, lows around 50 degrees. Chance of rain is at 90%. On Friday, cloudy with a chance of showers in the morning, then partly sunny with a slight chance of showers in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 50s. Chance of rain, 50%. Friday night, mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 40s. On Saturday, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-50s. On Saturday night, mostly clear with lows in the lower 40s. On Sunday, sunny with highs in the upper 60s. Sunday night, mostly clear with lows in the upper 40s. And on Monday, sunny with highs in the mid-60s. Monday night, mostly clear with lows in the lower 40s. In Ashland right now, it's 76 degrees. Flemingsburg, 68 degrees. Inez, 81 degrees. Lexington, 69. Winchester, 69. And here in Moorhead on MSU's campus, it's 71 degrees.
The time is 4:45. You're listening to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Arlo Barnett here with Jacob Lindberg. Hope you're enjoying this last warm weather. Despite a recent boost in health insurance coverage, new statewide research finds a deficit in youth dental care. The Kentucky News Connection's Greg Stottlemyre has our feature story.
Nearly half of Kentucky 3rd and 6th graders are in need of dental care, a sharp increase from 15 years ago when it was 32%. The new statewide oral health research project uncovered what Kentucky Youth Advocates Executive Director Terry Brooks calls a paradox. Why has the need for dental care spiked, even though more kids are now covered by insurance?
Just that paradox says that we need to do some more digging. Some of it is just as basic as if I'm a kid and I'm covered, but I don't really have access to care, then that coverage doesn't do me any good.
Brooks says both delivery of dental care and educating parents about the importance of care must be improved. Children in 60 schools across the state got dental exams for the study, which was commissioned by Kentucky Youth Advocates and Delta Dental of Kentucky. Dr. Cliff Miyasaka is CEO of Delta Dental, the largest provider of oral health benefits in the state. He says Kentucky has to develop an oral health plan, and it must have a regional focus to be successful.
And I think the key takeaway there is not it's someone in Louisville telling someone in Hazard what to do. It's someone in Hazard telling someone in Louisville, hey, this would work best in Hazard.
The research found 2 out of every 5 students examined had untreated cavities, and the rate was higher in some rural areas and among lower-income children. Miyasaka says parents have to recognize that dental health is an essential component of a child's overall health.
Problems in the mouth will often manifest in other parts of the body. Untreated disease in the mouth is every bit as dangerous as untreated disease in a heart or a hand or a leg.
Miyasaka says there's no single solution to the problem and no one group, lawmakers, schools, or insurance companies, that can do it alone. He calls sealants the best tool for protecting a child's permanent teeth. But researchers found more than half the children examined did not have them. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
The time is 4:48. You're still listening to Mountain Edition here on Moorhead State Public Radio. A reminder that our fall fundraiser and membership drive is going on right now. Please give us a call at 783-2001 or visit us online, wmky.org. Braxton Howard has been keeping an eye on your sports news. He's up in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Funded in part through a grant from the Kentucky Division of Waste Management, a second green recycling trailer will be rotating among Elliottville, Hayes Crossing, Farmers, and at the MMRC Fire Department on Kentucky 801 North. In addition, a green recycling trailer will always be located across from Walmart in the parking lot at the community park. The rotating trailer schedule is online at moorheadrecycling.org.
Good afternoon with Moorhead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The University of Louisville announced today the notice of allegations received from the NCAA regarding the investigation into the men's basketball program, which had allegedly paid for prostitutes for players and recruits. The NCAA charged U of L with 4 Level 1 violations, the highest possible violation. Head coach Rick Pitino was cited with failure to monitor. Louisville says they are going to dispute the charge against Pitino, and he agrees with that decision.
I believe in the NCAA. The people who investigated this were highly professional. They were fair. Do I agree with the failure to monitor one of my people? No, absolutely not, because I over-monitor my staff.
U of L has 90 days to respond to the notice of allegations. When the actual punishment from the NCAA will be given out is still unclear. However, investigator Chuck Smertz says there is a possibility that Louisville's 2013 national championship could be vacated. The Cardinals self-imposed a postseason ban last year when the allegations first came out. The Dodgers and Cubs square off again tonight in the National League Championship Series. AP correspondent Mark Myers reports.
The best of seven league championship series has now become a best of three. LA and Chicago tied at two games apiece, with Game 5 slated for Dodger Stadium. In a rematch of Game 1, the Cubs' John Lester to square off against Kenta Maeda. Neither pitcher got a decision in that game. Lester has allowed only one run through 14 innings in his two starts in the postseason, while Maeda has allowed seven runs in seven innings in his two playoff appearances. Mark Myers, Los Angeles.
Needing a win to keep their hopes of a winning season alive, the Morehead State Football Eagles will entertain a different kind of Jacksonville team Saturday at Jane Stadium. For the last several years under former coach Kerdwin Bell, the Dolphins featured a pass-heavy spread offense. However, under new coach Ian Shields, Jacksonville has gone to a triple-option run-base attack. MSU coach Rob Tenier says his defense has spent a lot of time this week in practice learning to stop it.
You've got to spend the majority of your time on that because that's new. It's something we have not seen. And make sure that we're playing good assignment football. Take care of gap control inside for dives and things like that. And then we've got to be able to play off blocks and make plays on the perimeter when they pitch that ball out there.
While MSU is 2-5 this season, Jacksonville is 2-3 and coming off of a 36-16 loss to Dayton. Seventh-ranked Louisville is gearing up for a Saturday ACC battle against North Carolina State at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. Coach Bobby Petrino expects the Cardinals to have their hands full with the 4-2 Wolfpack.
I mean, they run the ball real well. They got a quarterback that was throwing for over 70% completions. Defensively, they line up in four-man front and pressure a little bit, but not as much as a lot of guys do. They play very sound. They make you earn it is really what they do. They really make you earn it. They tackle well, and they run full speed to the ball. So they're very impressive.
As for Kentucky, the 3-3 Cats will host Mississippi State on Saturday. A win in its regular season finale tomorrow night at East Carter could mean a Class 4A playoff berth for Round County's football team, despite its 1-8 record. Coach Gene Peterson says that accomplishment would be a critical step for his young squad as it moves forward.
I think it's a big building process for us. So it's going to hopefully relate that, just by us, staying to our focus and our goals as far as making it to the playoffs is a good thing.
For Round 2 get into the playoffs, the Vikings must first beat East Carter in their district contest and then hope that Greenup County can knock off Boyd County. The Packers and Bears renew their longtime rivalry tonight in Green Bay for Thursday Night Football. AP correspondent Mark Daniels reports.
Week 7 opens with the 193rd meeting in the NFL's oldest rivalry, the Packers hosting the Bears. Injuries on both sides have left the teams almost unrecognizable as Chicago sits 1-5 with Brian Hoyer quarterbacking for the injured Jay Cutler. Green Bay's quarterback is healthy, but Aaron Rodgers hasn't played like it on the field, and he will need to at Lambeau, or the 3-2 Packers could slide even further behind the NFC North unbeaten leaders in Minnesota. Mark Daniels, Green Bay.
For the 12th time since the 1998-99 season, the media has installed Kentucky as the favorite to win the SEC's basketball title. Coach Sean Calipari has raised some eyebrows by saying this year's Cats could be his best ever team at UK, adding that he really enjoys coaching them.
I got a talented group of young people that want to be coached, that want to learn, that came to Kentucky to get better. They didn't come to Kentucky to try to score 30 a game. They came to Kentucky to get better, and they're great kids. And I get to walk into that gym every day.
The Cats will host their blue-white scrimmage tomorrow night at 7 o'clock at Rupp Arena. With only two games left in the regular season, the Morehead State soccer team will hit the road to Tennessee to take on conference opponent UT Martin tonight at 8 p.m. Coach Warren Lipka knows with the conference tournament fastly approaching, the Skyhawks will be looking to bring a lot of fight to the contest.
Well, they've got a very good front runner. They got a great striker up front that we're going to have to deal with. They're kind of in the same position we are, still fighting to try to get into the season-ending OVC tournament. So, you're going to have to deal with their emotion, their effort.
The Eagles are 5-10-12 overall with a 2-5-1 record in OVC play. UT Martin stands at 4-12 overall and 1-7 in conference action. And finally in sports, the 16th Region Girls and Boys Soccer Championship games are tonight. On the boys' side of things, East Carter takes on Boyd County at Greenup County High School. Boyd County is 16-5-1 on the year, while East Carter is 10-7-2. Boyd defeated East 3-1 in the two teams' only matchup of the season. As for the girls, Russell visits Grayson to take on East Carter. Russell is 16-4 on the year and undefeated against 16th region teams. East Carter is 11-8-2. Both games are scheduled to start at 7 p.m., weather permitting. That's it for sports. For Morehead State Public Radio, I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Morehead State Volleyball will host UT Martin at 7 p.m. tomorrow and Southeast Missouri at 5 p.m. Saturday. Eagle Football is also home this weekend, hosting Jacksonville at 1 p.m. on Saturday. Tickets and additional information available from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. Stocks closed lower after a sharp fall in oil prices, while investors parsed through key U.S. economic data and digested a key European Central Bank decision on interest rates. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 40.27 at 18,162.35. The S&P 500 was down 2.95 at 2141.34, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 4.58 at 5241.83. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 8-6 in favor of losing stocks over winners. U.S. crude oil futures for November delivery fell 2.25%, settling at $50.43 a barrel. This a day after hitting a 15-month high as investors took profits off the table. In U.S. economic news, existing home sales rose 3.2% last month to a seasonally adjusted rate of just under 5.5 million, their highest rate since June. Leading indicators for September rose 0.2% as well. The European Central Bank kept interest rates unchanged, as was widely expected. ECB President Mario Draghi said that while extending the central bank's current QE program was not discussed, he did say the central bank will preserve a very substantial amount of monetary policy support. In corporate news, Dow Components, Travelers, and Verizon both posted quarterly results, with Travelers beating estimates on both earnings and revenues, while Verizon missed on revenue while beating on profits. American Express reported better than expected results, sending its shares more than 10% higher. eBay shares dropped more than 10% despite beating street estimates after lowering its earnings guidance for the fourth quarter. Gold futures for December delivery fell $2.30, finishing at $1,267.60 an ounce. And among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were American Express and United Health Group. Your worst performers were Travelers and Verizon. And on the S&P 500, your worst or best performers were American Express and Snap-on Inc. And your worst performers were eBay and Union Pacific. Trading now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland down 73 cents at 112.31, CSX down 73 cents at 30.34, AEP down 30 cents at 62.89, Marathon Petroleum up 39 cents at 43.04, AK Steel up 20 cents at 5.03, and Fifth Third Bank was up 50 cents to finish at 21.02. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Morehead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Your weather for tonight, showers and a chance of thunderstorms, lows around 50 degrees. Chance of rain is at 90%. On Friday, cloudy with a chance of showers in the morning, then partly sunny with a slight chance of showers in the afternoon. Highs in the upper 50s, chance of rain 50%. On Friday night, mostly cloudy with lows in the lower 40s. On Saturday, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-50s. In Ashland right now, it's 76 degrees, Flemingsburg 68, Inez 81, Lexington 69, Winchester 69, and here in Morehead, it's 71 degrees.
That'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Dan Conti, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Connection with our feature, Greg Stottlemyre. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Jacob Lindberg and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Arlo Barnett, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.
Whoever's behind